Dell.
Let's give a big, great hand of praise for the pastors here with their heart on their sleeve, I want to say. You know, I'm a little under the weather, and I hope to get through this without a cough fit, but I'm going to, through the anointing, through the water, and through these halls, I want to thank these cherry-flavored halls. Thank you. I'm going to lay them out, matter of fact. So I'm all set up, ready to go. How many people have been under the weather with this, I don't know what you call it, Mama Zuma thing? Whew. Yeah, stay away. You know, I'm around other people in my household, and none of them are getting it, thank God. There's a little here and there, but just hope it stays that way. We're speaking of many series, and I want to share something. How many have seen Billy Graham's funeral this week? Amen. God bless him, huh? Great man of God. Gave his life to the gospel. And what I found that was very intriguing was it was prophesied, and Tim shared this, Pastor Tim shared this either last week or so, about how there was a group of believers, men of God, who were meeting together, and there was a younger pastor or prophet that was amongst them, started prophesying about what's about to take place. He said Oral Roberts has passed away, and now, you know, Billy Graham hasn't passed away yet at this time, but when Billy Graham passes away, there's going to be a release in the heavenlies, and there's going to be another gospel or another message or another group that's going to rise up and literally take the mantle. And looking at it was very interesting. I'm busy throughout the day, and I just happened to hit the television real quick. I felt this thing come on me, and I thought I was, you know, oh, I need to sit down, you know. I thought maybe I was rushing or something. So I sat down. I said, let me just pop the news on real quick, and I started seeing Billy Graham's funeral. I said, let me watch this. And the children were up there speaking about Billy Graham and how wonderful of a man he was and things like that and how he taught them the scriptures and stuff. And his one daughter came up and began to speak about how Billy Graham and the date that he passed away, and I'm paraphrasing this, so I don't really remember the major details of it, but I'm going to paraphrase in the sense of the date that Billy Graham died was the date that Moses moved on to the point where Joshua was raised up to take the people into the promised land. And she started to actually prophesy. She says, now that my father is passed, there's going to be a Joshua ministry that's going to be raised up. And in the New Testament, Joshua means like the returning of Christ and the second coming of Christ. And then she went off on the religious terms of the second coming of Christ. But we know that, you know, what it really is a revelation of the knowledge of Christ and how to obtain this knowledge. But she went off and said that there's going to be a new gospel that's going to be spoken. And I found it very interesting because when Jesus came the first time, there was a new gospel that was spoken. They even said to him, what is this strange doctrine that you're preaching? And he began to preach that repent, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And that was the message going forward. But that message really hasn't come out in the church, into the grace and the knowledge that is today. And I'm very excited about what's taking place because this is the year, January, we came in and we said, this year we're going to declare the kingdom of God and we're going to begin to start sharing the truth of the kingdom and bring in the supernatural this year so that our eyes will begin to see and our ears will begin to hear in the supernatural rather than the natural. And the difference is carnality. There's a place where, and I hope I make myself clear after this message I want to give today. that we would understand life. We really need to understand life. And I want to say today, my message is about salvation. And what is salvation? I was listening to the three pastors, and they really laid a foundation on today's message. And you have to say to yourself, salvation is not a religion. Salvation is not being Muslim. Salvation is not being Christian or Judaism or Hindi or Buddhist or what. It's not a tradition. It's not anything. Salvation is really coming to a place of receiving God's love. Salvation is being set free and cleansed. And if we understand the truth, we as individuals, we were brought in and we live in the world. And what is it to live in the world? Everybody has these different interpretations of living in the world. But I want to tell you what living in the world is in a very short definition. Not knowing God's love and forgiveness. That's really what it means by living in the world. And when you can come out of the world, what you're really doing is you're receiving the love of God. You're receiving and embracing the love of God to the point where He cleanses you. The love of God cleanses us, and it sets us free from the world. And how does it set us free from the world? Well, in the world, and I think one of the pastors said it, you're going to have troubles, and you're going to have problems, and you're going to have issues, and there's going to be fear, and there's going to be worry, and there's going to be anxiety, and you're going to feel all alone. How many people have ever felt all alone? They don't have any friends, or they don't have anybody to speak to, or they don't have anybody to understand. Well, that's being in the world. You are in the world. But when you receive God's love, when you truly receive God's love, that love takes you out of the world. Where what I'm saying, by taking you out of the world, you begin to not feel all alone anymore. And you have the strength to overcome the worry and the anxiety and the depression and the guilt and the shame, because the love of God has cleansed you and washed you. Now, when He cleanses you and washes you, now it brings His righteousness on you. Salvation doesn't come through good works or good deeds or just doing the right thing. Salvation isn't, like I said before, going to church or calling yourself a certain sect out there or what have you, a denomination, or coming into a religion. Salvation is truly embracing how much God really loves us and cares for us. How He's not imputing anything against us, where we're not alone and we didn't make any mistakes, and that we're walking with Him. And that's true salvation. And I believe this message is going to be coming out very, very shortly, more so than it is now. And when you begin to receive this salvation, this love of God, you actually enter into His nature. You receive the adoption. You begin to receive a part of who He is. And we call it the Son of God or Christ. We begin to bring in and identify so that it's no longer I that lives, but He that lives within me. And how can someone confess that? Is that when they have such a love for God in their heart that it takes away being alone. It takes away that you don't have anybody to talk to, because you can go right to Him and talk to Him and tell Him your issues and your concerns and things of that nature. You don't have to feel bad or ashamed or guilty by the things that you've done in the past, because He doesn't look at them and He doesn't remember them, and it's all washed away. How many people have felt guilty or ashamed or just, you know, not happy for some reason or another, that happiness that is robbed from inside of us is covered by some type of form of guilt, shame, or condemnation, whether somebody condemned you or you're condemning yourself. And the Bible's really clear about, that's why I love this book, you know. Billy Graham really loved this book. If you heard his sermons and, you know, listened to the funeral that he had, he really worshiped this book. But this book is really just a confirmation of the truth. It's like a training manual. But God really wants us to embrace the truth that's inside of us. And that's a whole different teaching. But today I want to embrace salvation. You know, it's not an altar call of accepting some man or some prophet or some religion or starting to say to yourself, I'm going to start being a good person and I'm going to start doing good deeds and I'm going to start, you know, putting myself out there with a better attitude or what have you like that. It has everything to do about embracing the love of God. And when you embrace the love of God, that love changes you from the inside out. It gives you strength. It gives you encouragement. It gives you boldness. It allows you to be for who you are. And like Pastor Kurt said, you know, he stood before Pontius Pilate and says, you have no authority over me unless my Father in heaven has given it to you. And what he was saying is that I have given my life so fully into the hands of God because he embraced me and now I'm going to embrace his love, that he cares for me so much that he's not going to allow anything to happen. And he's going to guide me and he leads me and he's going to direct my path. And how do we continue to stay in salvation? That's where I say we got to connect to the heart. We need the mind of Christ. And how does salvation bring you into the mind of Christ? For one, when you begin to start embracing this love of God, when you begin to start saying, you know what? I understand now that God loves me so much. It says in Scripture, God so loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That literally, that Son is that nature of, he doesn't see your shortcomings or your faults or anything like that. He sees us for who we are. Now, how many of us here alone just want to be who you are? Just want to be real. You don't want to have to put a facade on or anything like that. You just want to be you. Now, most of us are maybe still looking around. And remember, I'm speaking to those in the internet too. So there's probably a lot of individuals out there that don't even know who they are. And they're trying to find their life. They're trying to find a sense of identity. They're lost. They're confused. And I say it because they have no love. Some people put their love so much into others that when those others seem to leave out of their life or they go on a different journey or they can't cope. Has anyone ever been in that situation where maybe you lost a loved one or you lost a situation or a good friend or whatever and you just can't cope? You can't cope because all your love was in that and that was in the world. And God is saying, take your love out of the world. Take your love and put it in me. I used to see a lot of people, and I minister to a lot of people. And the first thing I see is their love. And I can tell you where they're at based on their love. And I always say to, this is where I go. You know, you have such deep love because everybody is filled with a lot of love. I'm going to tell you right now, we are made up of love. But what the problem is we don't know how to channel our love. We put our love scattered all over the place. We put our love over here. We put our love over there. We put our love over there. But if we put our love in God, you know, that's putting it into the kingdom. And he says, if you seek me first, seek ye first the kingdom of God, all these things are going to be added unto you. And so if we can be able to put our love in God. Now, I know it's almost virtually impossible to love something you can't see. How many people would agree with that one? It's like, why? You want me to love God and I can't even see God? You know what? That's where it comes into believe. And that's why he says, if you believe, God sent his only begotten Son. And if you believe, you shall be saved. And we need to just begin to believe. We're not alone. We need to embrace true salvation. So I don't care who I'm speaking to over the internet. You could be a Catholic, a Christian, a Muslim, a Buddhist. You could be a Hindu. I don't want anybody really to change their religion, so to say. I'm not here to change anybody's tradition. You like the Catholic? You know, I think they got beautiful churches, you know. We just happen to be in a barn. I hope you like the barn. But, you know, I love looking at the stained glass. I love seeing the candles. I mean, I love seeing all that stuff. It's beautiful. How many people love to see that stuff? Come on. You know, sometimes I wish we could minister in one of them. I think it would be great to be able to hear the organs and woo, you know, be like, yeah, now this is church, you know. Or, you know, you go into the synagogues and stuff like that and all. I mean, those things are really nice. So why take that away from somebody? Let's give them the message, though. The message is what's the real meat and beef of the whole purpose of life. And we need to take this gospel message and understand what it really is to have the love of God in us. So that when we embrace this love, we also then change the way we're thinking. Our minds are renewed. And then we need to take that mind of Christ. Our mind actually turns into Christ. The nature of God, the part of God, the truth of God. Like what Pastor Kurt said earlier. You know, you have no authority over me unless my Father in heaven has given to you. That's the mind of Christ. And when you can build that into your heart, we have a lot of work to do. We have to pull that mind into our heart. We got to put it into our heart. We have to set the truth so that the truth can set us free. Right now, we have no salvation. We confess the love of God, but our heart is so far from Him. Because how stable are we? How deep is that love of God really in our heart? How many are ready to walk on water? You see? I look at when Jesus walked on water, when the waves were storming and everything, he had the love of God. That was like a demonstration of showing the love of God. And, you know, Peter began to have the love too. What did he do? Jump out on the water and start walking on the water, you know? And then he took his eyes off that love. And then what happened? Peter started like dipping and I just see him slowly going, you know, under the water, like, ooh, like falling into quicksand, you know? And Jesus was just like reaching back down with love, just pulling him back up, saying, you know, if you would just love me with all your heart, soul, and mind, you would be able to just come up. And so I want us to really understand how to embrace salvation. You know, if we would really begin to stay tuned with understanding this simple concept. It's simple, but how many times do we fall away from it? Where we enter back into the world with worry, fear, feeling like we're all alone. We don't have any friends. Our love is connected to the world. And God is saying, I want you to come out of the world. I want your love connected to me. If your love is connected in me, then everything is going to be added unto you. Everything. And when we get judged, you know, this is something that really needs to be told. When we go before the Lord, and I know Pastor Tim brought this up because we've been having some discussions about this. God is going to look at his son. He wants to see that nature of love in us. He wants to see Christ in us. Now, this is a mystery. What I'm saying is a mystery. That's why it's important for us to be able to see spiritual, not carnal. Because when you look carnal, what do you see? I see Jim. I look at myself. I look at myself in the mirror, and I see my carnal nature. I see Jim. I look at my background, where I came from. I keep seeing the natural. But what do we have to begin to start seeing? It took me a while to start looking at who I was, who I am, who I am to be. It took a while for me to take the natural and bring it into the spirit. It was really hard to look at myself in the mirror and say, you're a minister of the gospel of Christ. You know what I'm saying? You've been called. And I know the other pastors probably have the same problem I do. You've been called because of where we came from. You know, it's not like we were born as our fathers were ministers. I would say those individuals that came from Billy Graham and all might be easier. I'm a child of Billy Graham, you know. But we had earthly fathers and they did earthly things and we were born up in a generation that was earthly. And I mean, we did some bad stuff and we carry that stuff around and we look at ourselves and say, even today, the way I handle myself, I look at myself and say, I got to double check. But the only thing I need to really look at and gauge is how much love of God do I have in me? Am I willing to follow the convictions, the laws that are written on my heart unto death? You know, the love of God is like a marriage. Death do us apart, you know? It's like when you make that vow, you're making a marriage. You're making a marriage to the love of God. And the love of God is saying in your heart, you can't do this, you can't do that, you got to do this, you got to do that. And you got to follow that conviction in your heart. You got to follow that love. And that comes with maintaining or keeping the kingdom of God. And that's why God made the kingdom. The kingdom is a form of righteousness. It's if anybody ever puts any guilt or shame on you, you better run as far as you can from that. Because that's robbing and killing Christ. We're putting Christ back on the cross again. We're taking that nature of God and we're killing it. How many of us have those individuals in our lives? They're all over the place. I don't care where you go. They're there. You turn, boom, there, boom. You should have done that. You should have went. There are so many people that are full with opinions. You need to do this. You need to do that. You have to do this. You have to do that. The only thing that you have to do is love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Embrace that. And then he begins to build something in your heart. He begins to lead you and guide you and direct you. You actually receive life. The love of God is life. It's really who you are. Have you ever met someone and you feel fulfilled? In the natural, you meet your significant other and then all of a sudden you feel fulfilled. Has anyone ever been like that before? Amen. Good. Because I want you to feel what God wants you to feel with him. When you find this love, you're fulfilled. There is nothing more that you need. Your life is in him, and he fulfills everything in you. In the beginning, it's difficult because we're still carnally minded. We don't have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ longs to be fully embraced with God. The mind of Christ fully wants to do the will of God. So if you look at Jesus, what one of the comments he said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. Obviously, he was filled with the love of God because his whole life was embraced with God's will, God's love. And, you know, this is salvation. When you reach these levels in your heart, you can stand boldly to know that you have salvation here in the world. Jesus made a comment. He says, I may be in the world, but I'm not of the world. And what he was saying is, my love is not in the world. Yes, I have love for you. Yes, I have love for all those that are around me. But my greatest love is in God. You know, God's a jealous God and he doesn't want any other gods before him. That kind of shows you how jealous he is, isn't it? I know him in my own heart. And I hope this year you'll kind of grab hold of what God is saying. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. We need to embrace the love of God so that God will lead us and direct us. If you truly want a life, if you're sick and tired of living the way you're living in fear, depression, anxiety, worry, how about just unhappiness? How about not just being filled? If you're lonely, I'm going to tell you right now, if you really embrace the love of God, it takes loneliness out of you. I know individuals that feel like they can't live anymore because they don't have anybody in their heart. We need to replace that with salvation. And if we don't have that, we have no salvation. I worry sometimes because people connect their love so deep on this earth, and yet they want eternal life. They've been a good person. They've done all the right things. They were obedient to the things that they felt necessary to be obedient. They were responsible. They held integrity. But their love was not connected there. You know, we need to be hot, not lukewarm. We need to be that passion and that love for God. It's not going to take you away from the love that's on this world. I love my children, and they can confess that they really feel my love. But I have a deeper love. I have a love for God. And how do you judge that love? How do you know your love is better? How do you know that that love there is deeper for God than it is for the children? Well, I have to come to an acceptance in my heart. If God chooses to take those children away, so it is. You see? Just like Abraham and Isaac, he took his children up to the mountain, right? He took his child up to the mountain. He was testing his love. Is he going to, you know, do away with it or what? And he's like, I'll go obedient, I'll go. But then God provided a ram. See, I want you to know, when you make a decision in your heart about loving God more so than anything, he always has a ram for you. He's not going to take away anyone or anything. I use that as an example, but the last thing I ever would want is my children to be taken away from me. God knows that. So he gives me rams, you see? Because my love is not below him, it's above him, it's for him. It's for him. And the more you have a call on your life, which I know all of us have a call on our lives, we're always tested by our love. He'll take away those things that are robbing you from his love. He will. Until we surrender our love to him. How many people are grabbing hold of what I'm saying? And I believe this year, God is saying, I want more love for my people. I want unconditional love. I want to be the love of their life. There's too many idols in our lives, and I want all of their love. You know, if you look through scripture, it was always separating them from the idols and bringing them into love. Always. You look at Job. He had a lot of love in his family and things and even in himself. And God showed him. And then what did he have to do? Not only recognize who God was, but to love him and accept the fact of what he did to him. And then when he did, boom, everything was restored. A ram in the bush. Boom, a ram. God wants to put rams in our bushes all over the place. You know, I'm making decisions in my own heart to love God more so than anything. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to lose less love for an individual. I'm going to love unconditionally everybody that I can love. But at the same time, Lord, have your will. Let your will be done. on earth as it is in heaven. And as it is in heaven is really your heart. Because your heart is going to tell you what you got to walk away from and what you need to hold on to. Your heart's going to tell you what you need to do and what you don't need to do. That's where the true kingdom of God is, in your heart. Your heart's going to tell you by this: righteousness, peace, and joy. You're going to be on a journey, and you're going to begin to start seeking it, and you're going to start letting things go. And you're going to say, Lord, you know my heart. I love you so much. I am walking away from these situations that are causing aggravation or annoyances in my lives. Just give me the ram. Just show me the ram so I can embrace the ram and thank you with all my heart, soul, and mind. Because God's love for you is not there to steal, kill, and destroy. Remember that. He's always there to fill you. He's never there to steal. The world is there to steal, rob, kill, and destroy. And the more we are in the world, we're going to have troubles. We're going to have lots of troubles. But when we can come out of the world, and it's coming into salvation, which is embracing the love of God with all your heart, soul, and mind, you're not going to have any troubles. You're going to have nothing but blessings, restorations, rams. He's going to substitute what was the canker worm and the locust, and he's going to give you back 100-fold. We spoke about coming out of fear. Perfect love casts out fear. If we knew the power of love, we would know eternal life. Because the love of God is eternal life. And you might not understand this mystery right now. Because in the beginning, it's hard. First of all, you got to love something you can't see. You got to somehow take your eyes off yourself and begin to embrace something called faith. You need to begin to get to the point where you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and that's a low level in your life. That's why a lot of people say, oh, salvation or Christianity or God thing, you know, loving God and all that, is for weak people because they reached low levels in their life. They reached that point of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you can have a lot of things. You can be rich and have a lot of cars and houses and all that, but you can still be sick and tired of being sick and tired. Has anyone ever been in that place before where you had a lot of material things, but inside you were just sick and tired of being sick and tired? Well, that's a good starting place. When you're there, that's the perfect place to make a decision. You know why? Because you don't have a life anyhow. When you don't have a life, that's when you can find one. It's when you have a life, it's very hard to find one because you can't lose it. You can't lose the life. So when I see people at a point where they're like down and out inside, I say, yeah, all right, I'm going to embrace this one because you know why? They want a new life. You can't embrace anyone who already loves their life. You can't do it. Sorry, you can't get them to sacrifice that life that they love so much. It's not going to happen. They have to be in that place where they're just sick and tired of being unhappy. They're sick and tired of feeling the way they're feeling. And they want to begin to embrace a new life. And that is the golden ticket. That's the opportunity for the altar call. That's the time to say, come. God wants to give you a life. He wants you to become born again. He wants you to embrace the love of Him so He can cleanse everything away so that you can put a different coat on, a coat of righteousness, something that's going to keep your conscience cleansed so that you can move on. How many of us here alone and those that are listening want to move on in their life? You're perfect. You're perfect for salvation right now. Salvation is at hand. Now we just embrace God. We need to believe. You need to believe that the fact that He has something better and begin to follow His lead. How do you follow His lead? He's going to start moving. God says if you call upon His name, you just start believing, God, I'm here, I'm ready for this new journey. He will lead you. And one of the things that we have to look for and follow is peace and joy and righteousness. And you follow that. You follow and seek the kingdom of God. You follow and seek the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy. You will become a new creature in Him. This is the gospel message right here. This is the gospel message that is going to be preached all over the world. This is the generation that God has been speaking about and promising through the prophets. Whether you want to call it the second coming of Christ, whatever you want to call it, this is the gospel that God is speaking to this nation now. And if you lose your life, you will gain one. It's a same message, but a deeper clarity and a deeper understanding, a deeper knowledge. And you're not, it's not too late. I want you to know it's not too late. You know why I know this? Because the Bible always gives us a glimmer of hope. And in the Bible, Jesus was hanging on the cross, wasn't He? And wasn't there someone next to Him that was hanging on the cross too? There was two of them, weren't there? One that mocked Him and one that embraced Him. The one that embraced Him, He said, this day, this day you will be in My kingdom. So that's the beauty about this earth, this time right now that we're living in. It doesn't matter if God's going to take you tomorrow. If you embrace this gospel message today, you, this day, you will be in paradise. This day, you will be in the kingdom. This day. And that's what's so beautiful about embracing the love of God, this message. Because it's not by works. It's not anything other than faith and loving Him with all your heart. Just give your life and say, God, I want to start all over. I want now. I don't know You, but you know what? I want to know You. I want to know this love. I want this journey. I want this new life. I want happiness. I want peace. I'm sick and tired of the old life. I want it. I want it really bad. I said something to Pastor Sam earlier, and we fell heaven. And I said, Sam, it's not about them. It's about Me. And if I'm not obedient to embrace this kingdom, to embrace this message, to embrace this love, I feel that I'm going to be damned by eternal life. I'm not going to receive eternal life because I've put other things before Him without the truth. I have to love God with all my heart, soul, and mind, and seek the kingdom of God with all my heart, soul, and mind, with everything that's inside of me. If not, I'm going to perish. I feel that I'm going to be like that one that stands before Him and says, but Lord, Lord, I did all these things in Your name. And He's going to say, get away from Me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you because I gave you the grace. I gave you the knowledge. I gave you the truth. But you choose to live in the world. And what does it mean to live in the world? I gave My love here and I subject myself to fear and I didn't put My love in His whole hands to look at the journey that He has set before me. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but what I do know is the love of God. This is what He wants in every one of our lives. Every one of us. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but we're putting all of our love in things, places, people, whatever it is, objects. And it's robbing us from our journey for tomorrow. And that journey tomorrow is going to embrace us with a greater love and a peace and a joy that we've never experienced. He said he would do far beyond what you can comprehend or even imagine. So I can't even think, even though I want it. How many people want it but can't think how it would even be? I can't even imagine what it would be like. I can't even imagine. But he says he'll do far above what we can comprehend or even imagine. So what I know is this, it's possible. I know that the love and the joy and the peace and the righteousness that I'm looking for is possible. All things are possible in the eyes of God. In man, it's not possible. I can't obtain it. I can't obtain it. But in him, I can, because he'll open the doors and he'll close the doors. How many have heard those sayings before? God will open up a door that no man can open. And he'll close a door that no man can shut. Who wants that in their life? And when I see that, when I see the door closed, I see eternal hell close. When I see a door open, I see eternal heaven open. So when I walk through the door that's opened by God, I see nothing but joy and peace and righteousness. I see something that's going to fulfill my life here on earth and in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. And him closing the doors that just lead me down a bad path. That is constantly robbing and stealing and killing and destroying that what I seek so much. How many people are seeing and following what I'm saying? God wants this too in your life. He wants to give you the power and the strength to follow this path that he has laid for you. It's for you. That's how much he loves us. He has that much love for each and every one of us. And it doesn't matter who you are or where you've been or what's going on in your life. All you can do is say, I love you, God, and I trust you. And then your life is taken from there. I see eternal life for you. It doesn't matter where you've been and what you've done or what's happening now. Because the Spirit of God dwells in you. Even though we're in the world and the world encamps around us, and listen, we might even have possessions. And what I mean by possessions, those possessions could be spiritual too. But the love of God is what delivers us and sets us free from those possessions. You see, the more you love God, the more you don't need possessions. And that's material and spiritual. Amen. Let us all bow our heads for a moment. If you say in your heart, God, I'm ready for this journey. I believe he's faithful and just to start you on this journey. And the only requirement that he has is to trust him. The only requirement that he has is if you would put your trust wholly in him and know and believe, and you will be on this journey. You will begin to start. He will stir your heart up. He will give you boldness. He will give you strength. Lord, I pray right now. those that say with their heart now, I want this journey. I want this journey. He will give you this journey. He will empower you. You have the keys today to start this journey. Love him with all your heart. I see that one on the cross next to him. And he says, this day, you will be in paradise with me. This day. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Embrace your salvation now. Today is the day of salvation. Embrace it. Amen. I'm going to pass the mic over. Pastor Sam's coming up. Amen. It's your day of salvation.
The pastor was speaking about trusting him is what I was writing down on my phone. That's all he wants. It's really simple. To trust him beyond everything, in everything in our lives, and to be separated and set apart. Nothing else matters. You know, when we're in that place of oneness with God, every door opens in our lives. Every door is supposed to open. Every door closes is supposed to close because you're one with him. All God wants is for us to be one with him. He wants to love us more. He wants us to trust him more. That's all he wants. He wants to bless us beyond measure. And we're sitting there like, the question is, when you first meet somebody, you don't trust them right away, right? You first meet somebody on the street, you don't trust them right away. You have to get to know someone. So we have to get to know who God is. And in this ministry, we find out who God is. You don't trust him until you know him. So we teach you and we show you who God is in you. He's already in you, you just don't know it. And we break it down piece by piece until you know him. And the more you know him, the more you trust him. You can't trust him until you know him. You can't, it's impossible. You don't meet somebody in the street and just trust them out of the blue because they're there. No, you have to get to know someone before you trust them. And when you finally trust someone, you lay your life down for them. You put yourself, you trust them, you put yourself, you know they're not gonna hurt you. They're not gonna ever talk behind your back. God's got our back. We have to trust him and know him, amen? Hop on the website Wednesday nights. We have our Wednesday night service, 7:30. Please come out. Kurt wants to add something right away.
I just want to, when Pastor Jim was speaking earlier about Billy Graham, I just want to share something. What God showed me. He showed me Rodney Howard Brown about baptisms, and we went down to South Africa, and Pastor took that mantle. Bob Shadows laid his hands on Pastor Jim, and he took that mantle. We went to Harrisburg, and we all received mantles. Now, you got to understand something. This is for this ministry. It's not about Jim. It's not about Sam. It's not about Tim. It's not about myself. The last time Billy Graham was in Philadelphia was in 1992. Me and my wife were there, and I didn't realize this. He spoke that night on the second coming of Christ. This is the second coming of Christ that we're preaching in this ministry. We've received this mantle. Yes. Yeah, that's what God showed me in the bathroom. And get ready. The crowds that Billy Graham had, this ministry is going to have, and bigger. He showed me. And I know it's true. It's a mantle that this ministry carries. I didn't understand a lot of things, and he clarified it today in the bathroom. Amen. So, just, this is true, what is being spoken in here. Billy Graham didn't even know what he was speaking that night, I believe. It became clear to me. Remember, this is a spirit. Now, who's to say down the line that there's not going to be another revelation that falls on someone else? And we have to be open to receive that, and especially the younger generation. If something else comes, we have to be open to the Spirit of God. We have to be. That's what makes us spirit, to be open. So just know that we are in the right place. What Pastor had up here tonight was the new altar call. trusting God, Sam speaking it, Tim speaking it. It's the new altar call. It's having that relationship with God, not Jesus the man. Billy Graham spoke, receive Jesus in your heart. That's the revelation that he had. God's taking it to a new level. Listen, the darkness has been poured out. This is 1992, right? Look at all the changes that have happened since 1992. We have to realize that was 26 years ago. Seems like last year, but it was 26 years ago. So just know that you know that you know that we are in the right place. We were speaking about it earlier, but praise God. It's awesome. Everybody, have a great week. Amen.